Good afternoon and good morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, West Coast time, San Francisco Bay Area. My guest this week on What Comes Next Live is my friend Allison McCondray, one half of Alimat Inc., to me, wonderful genius extractors. We met nearly 3 years ago at one of the first beta tests of Chip Conley's Modern Elder Academy in Baja, California. Chip has been a previous guest on the show, and I know Chip through leadership and writing and books, and I'm not sure if I coined it, but I use it a lot to describe what Allison and her partner Matt do, which is they are genius extractors. So they look to see everybody's unique kernel of genius, and I'll let Allison explain a little bit of what she does, and also with everything that's been going on, I know there's a lot going on for her and what might come next. So over to you, Allison.
Wonderful. Thank you, Tom. And Tom didn't mention, but it was some of your genius that Matt and I extracted after our Chip sojourn. We had a lot of fun with you recreating kind of pulling out, prying open your brain, pulling out the thoughts, getting you to talk, and then helping you to craft your story on your site.
Absolutely right. How could I possibly have forgotten that? In 2018, I flew across a couple of times, and I just knew I needed to pay you guys to invest in you guys to do the work. And it was a lot of fun. It was an awful lot of fun.
I'll never forget when there's always this, can I get it, entering somebody's world. And I remember when we presented, first draft of copying and thoughts to you, and you were quiet and I didn't know what you were going to say. And then your first words were, do you guys know how good you are?
I'm a big fan of acknowledging people when they do a good job, catch people doing it right. And I mean, all too often we tend to, and if I put this in a leadership theme, leaders tend to often just assume people do the job, people who work with them. It's amazing what the power is of actually just being authentic and just going, it's great. There were also a couple of moments where, you've not got it. Right? And then we just flowed through with that freedom. Yeah. We just flowed through that and got it going great. Now that was, for me, it was a what comes next, because about 2 years later, I thought, okay, I'm ready for what comes next. So I did a fresh iteration of it. And it's certainly what you did totally repositioned me. And my website was very different from anything else I'd done before. And it was of high value to me. So yes, thank you.
That's awesome. I mean, I feel like a lot of what we do, and then I can talk a little bit more about it, is I just got this image of the repositioning to me is like really pulling out from behind the veil who you already are and where you already are. Mm. And then making that real, just expressing it, kind of translating it to the outside world. Mm. First extracting it and then translating it through our craft, which is, specific use of language and imagery to translate who you already are. Mm. It's probably very similar to what you do as a coach, I would imagine.
If I wasn't so lazy with this podcast, I would have synopsized what you just said and put it into the show synopsis afterwards. But I've made a commitment to myself that this is the lazy host and lazy guest podcast. There are no show notes. People just have to listen.
you're one of my heroes in that you get things done, as you know about me. So a little bit more about what Matt, who is in the other room, and I do for people. So we work with really people across the spectrum. We work with company founders, such as Chip Conley is a longtime client, which was how we ended up serendipitously being fortunate to be down in Baja with Tom. Mm-hmm. We work with company founders, executives, usually more entrepreneurial types of executives, straight up entrepreneurs. We also work with artists and activists. It's essentially anyone who has a big idea that they want to share, or a company that they want to move forward and pitch. And they're often very melded, and they're usually very mission focused people where they have through if their idea takes hold, if their business is successful, then they're envisioning. I usually join people if what they're all about moves my heart, if I feel an opening in my heart space, as well as my intellect. But I ask myself, are they helping to create a future that I would want to live in, that I think the world should be moving towards? So the form of that, certainly in before times, and now we're figuring out how to navigate it in this virtual world, is the form might say, someone is invited to deliver a TED Talk or a TEDx talk, and they need to filter down their decades of experience or their big idea into 12 minutes, which can be very tough. Or they might be, a startup and pitching the story of their company to get investments, to get partnerships, to get board members. So it's really all about, essentially taking an audience on a journey of awareness from where they are, when you start out your talk or your pitch or your presentation, to where you would like them to be, which is usually some sort of transformation or changed mind. So what we do, it's very much an art and a bespoke craft as opposed to a paint by the numbers. But in a nutshell, we essentially will help people clarify their idea. That might be, I've got all this spaghetti in my head, and what's the unifying theme? What's that one magic sentence? Ideally, we try to get to. And then from that clarified idea, crafting a narrative that will hold an audience. For us, it's typically a live audience. So there's that kind of alchemy of connecting to where they are, you think they are, and drawing them along and keeping them engaged. And then bringing it to life. And that's kind of, sometimes I call what we do anthropology, alchemy, and artistry. Cause there's an anthropology part in the beginning where it's deep into who you are and the data and all of that. And then the alchemy of synthesizing it all together. Mm-hmm. And then the artistry. And so, if someone hires us for the whole shebang, it could be fully crafting writing the TED Talk down to the last comma, and then creating the visual story. That's really, as you know, Matt's bailiwick to bring it to life.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So,
And I want to hear where you are now and what's coming next. And I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. So,
of course. Someone like you.
Wouldn't be me if I didn't do that, right? And you talked about some people might want to take decades of experience and put it into a 12-minute TED Talk. Hmm. Now, both of you have, I'm being polite, but you have decades of experience overall. And you've worked together in a business partnership for many years. And you've done this over and over again. And it's not cookie cutter. It is a craft. It is alchemy. It is artistry. And with all of that, I'm sure people listening and watching this later, my audience tend to be people who lead in some shape or form. I mean, we all do. We lead ourselves. We lead our families. But they may be leading a large company. They may be politicians. I mean, there's some of these people in the audience. And that alchemy seems to be very valuable to what people can put their message together. I'm just wondering if you could distill down your decades of experience and what common things do you hear? What's the secret to bringing clarity to not so much of this, the narrative, et cetera, will be specific to the audience, et cetera, but well, perhaps it's either what do people get wrong? What are the most common mistakes that you need to correct? Or what can you share with people that they can go, okay, that kind of makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. What people usually do wrong. I would put it through the lens of a narrative in the context of our most common craft, which is the presentation and presenting your ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the secret to a good one? I prefer positive language, whatever you think.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about the mistakes that people often make in the beginning of the presentation. And I'm just thinking for a minute. One way to get to clarity is it just in terms of you know, you have an idea, you have a bunch of points that you want to make. Maybe you know what you want the audience to do or believe or think at the end. But how do you describe your idea in a way that kind of hooks people mm-hmm. and helps them to understand it? And, one technique that we use with people is something that I learned from a coach a long time ago. It's called a clear story. Mm-hmm. So the structure of a clear story, and it really applies to anything, is you might think, but really,
okay.
If you test, then you will. So it's very simple in a way. You might think this is true, mm-hmm. but really this is true. Because if you're really going to be a thought leader, it's like, why are you presenting? You know, neutrality and universal agreement is probably the last thing that you want. You want, you know, otherwise, why are you proposing something? Mm-hmm. And, if you think about it, there's usually a you might think, but really. So for example, a Chip who we know, has launched the Modern Elder Academy. And I would say that, in knowing his body of work, one of his you might think is about midlife. So, you know, and it's really kind of tapping into a common societal misperception, or maybe a common misperception or being asleep about with your target audience. So, you know, you might think that, or the common attitude towards midlife is that it's just this midpoint, it's mid-death, it's this midpoint to decrepitude and death.
Yeah.
But really, yeah. Midlife is this rite of passage, this turning point of great awakening, of increased capacity and happiness later in life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that, I use a lot of words, but that boiled down, that would be what Chris Anderson in his TED book, which I really recommend, calls the through line. So, you know, that's the you might think, but really that would hook the rest of your presentation. Another mistake I think that a lot of people make, and it's really more of a mindset. I think anytime that, you know, it's that classic, public speaking is one of the worst fears, maybe even more than death with some people. It's, there's this feeling of being exposed. Judgment. And I really like, the mindset shift that Nancy Duarte of Duarte Design, first taught me, which is, the hero and the guide. So you might think that you are the hero up there. It's all about me. I need to be smart, but really you're the guide. You're like the Obi-Wan, to the Luke Skywalkers. And so it's really your job as the guide is to let your ideas flow through you and be of service so that those ideas can land in the hearts and minds of all those little mini Luke Skywalkers who can go out there in the world. So shifting to be more of a servant.
I'm just going to repeat that. You might, because that helps me remember it.
Yeah.
You might think, using your structure, you're the hero, but really you're the guide. And yesterday I was authentically, I'm not feeling brilliant the last week or so. I'm feeling average. I'm feeling okay. Right. But you know how bubbly I normally am. All right. It's just, it's a bit flat right now with being in lockdown over here and stuff, right? And so I about 4:30 p.m., I just went, I'm done. So I went downstairs, sat on the couch / sofa, speaking English in two languages, and turned on the TV. And at 5 p.m., the Minister for Health was giving one of his briefings on lockdown. Bluntly, this guy has never been a very good presenter. But he was really good last night, right? And I was wondering, you know, it's like the energy he gave off is he never believed in himself, right? And he was trying to convince us of something he didn't believe in himself. And he was really direct and clear. And actually the message wasn't, here are the new rules. He was looking to guide, using your language, he was looking, so he's not the hero, he's not in control, he's not telling us, he's not being brilliant, he's not pumping his chest. His ego, which is the counterpart to fear, was not flying out. He was actually being of service and just going, now, to be a guide, this is what we all need to do together. He wasn't changing the rules last night. As we've all seen around the world, the rules keep changing. He was just going, we have to follow the rules, right? but it wasn't the stick, it was the carrot, and it was this guide energy. And I was talking to a client just today, and after 40 minutes, he'd been talking me through various sales conversations he'd had, right? Which is that time of year he's having a lot of sales conversations. He said, I said, can I just observe something I've noticed? You never got into detail about any of this, which to me was a mark of clarity and confidence.
That he never got into detail about which part?
When he was talking me through the different, sometimes he'll talk me through the different client situations he's working on, right, as his coach, right? And if he's not feeling confident, he'll dive into detail.
Yeah.
And if he's feeling confident, he'll just give me the contextual pieces. And he did this with 3 or 4 different client examples across an hour. And I went, you're coming across calm and confident. And one example of that is you're not diving into detail. And I'm just sharing that because I'm actually thinking from an energetic standpoint. That's a really, that you're not, you might think you're the hero, but really you're the guide. Yeah. Is a way that can quite readily shift the energy of the person presenting the message.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just, I'm sharing because I'm jumping into stuff you're sharing with us because I just had a learning. I just learned something, you know, so thank you.
Yeah. You're the guide. And then the next question is then you can start to talk about, what, you know, what qualifies you to be the guide, you know, because that, you know, people will follow someone who they feel has the experience, the gravitas, something to teach. But again, it's more being aware of it more from a being of service standpoint.
Hmm.
So for me, there's 3 things that make you kind of a worthy thought leader and worthy guide. There's 3 elements. One is certainly the credentials, mm-hmm. you know, your resume, you went to Stanford. It might be you went to Stanford or you came up working in an auto shop and that's how you started your auto company.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be Ivy League or anything. Mm-hmm. But those are the most obvious things. And that's often with what people start with. That's another thing with presentations, especially pitch decks. I'll often see a first draft where the first slide is, here's a little bit about us and I went to Stanford. Oh. You know, and that is the worst, like you might think.
You might think that's the best thing. Not really.
Credentials are what's going to draw people in, but really no, really actually they don't care about you. I mean, that's another thing is you really want to start your presentation focusing utterly on the other person, on your heroes, you know, on their shared world, on, you know, you want to make one of the first words out of your mouth, you, not I. How many of you, we're all in this together. You know, these are amazing times, that kind of thing. But so there's credentials and then there's also, number 2 is your unique point of view, mm-hmm. your unique, but really, mm-hmm. You know, what is your unique take on what you have to share? It's the Simon Sinek, you know, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 3rd I'd say is really understanding your own kind of founder story or your own thought leader story in terms of your life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just looking back, what can you pinpoint a turning point, like an aha moment that led you to where you are now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this needs to change, or this is my calling, or, you know, whatever it is. It might have been even in childhood. Mm-hmm. Or you think about what's a value that's been most true for you, that's mm-hmm. always been true for you, that even since childhood, that is true now. So these little things, this knowledge of yourself can, so, you know, for example, me, as a child, I had a father who was an engineer who was really, you know, just really, really hard to draw out. And so I got really good at asking questions of him. I got really good. I got really good at drawing out his story and trying to decipher what the hell was inside of him.
Extracting.
And engage him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I also, you know, my mom often felt, you know, not always heard. Mm-hmm. And I realized that, you know, kind of I assigned myself a little family translator as a 7-year-old, you know, mm-hmm. and I realized that that's at looking back, I think in my childhood where a value of like helping people to be seen and heard
mm-hmm.
started to take root.
So you've got in that, I'm conscious of being compressing what could be an hours long conversation into 30 minutes. So we've talked about that point of clarity that you might think, but really, and you might think you're the hero, but really you're the guide. contextually, you've then noted three other things, which actually build the narrative, which is at different levels, why you should listen to me, right? Mm-hmm. So then the next piece then becomes, and maybe this fits into what comes next for you or how you're going to frame things. But it then becomes, I mean, you talk about pitches. So it's like, once people are hooked and they go, oh, I get it. I might think it's this, but really it's this. And there are some things this person then went on to say, which really mattered to me. They said you X, Y, and Z. And because they started in an auto shop and they built a $1 billion auto company, and I'm interested in building companies,
yeah.
Then I'm just itching to hear what they're going to say next. Now, I happen to know that you, because we're also part of I feel it's really remarkable. We're part of the cohort of us, about a dozen of us that went to Baja. We still have a standing circle video call once a week, and we've done it for 3 years, and it keeps going. And typically about half of us show up on it, unless it's a special occasion, but it's pretty cool. And I think you shared on our end of year one that, you're now like doing some courses online and you put yourself out there. You're the guide. If I recall correctly, that's got something to do with pitching.
It does.
So maybe maybe you can like blend it all together and go, right, okay. So once you've got their attention, what comes next?
What comes next? And you're right that this is definitely coalescing with what's next for me, which is and Tom, you know well, Tom has seen me in these weekly calls increasingly coming out. I call it like coming out from behind the curtain. I often call myself, in terms of this genius extraction, I'm kind of like the midwife to genius.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's my job. I'm really good at entering someone's world and helping go, you know, helping them birth. So this year for me, and it's you know, amidst the tragedy, I think this is a gift for me of this pandemic, is that, you know, it's just kind of forced, okay, it's time. It's time to take some action and drop any, you know, move through any fears I have around being judged, et cetera. So, the first offering that we're doing is, and I am also looking for serendipities. I've actually got this, a guy, James, on our weekly, our weekly circle. I was fretting and, how are things going to work out? I don't know, maybe 6 months ago. And he gave this phrase that I still have as a post-it. I don't know if you can see it. Leaves room for miracles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the audio world.
So, he was watching for invitations. And so one thing that we do is help founders, help people with pitch decks, helping them to pitch their idea so that they can get what they want. They can get the funding, partnership, board members, whatever. And we've been developing this methodology that's an amalgamation of many different teachers and inputs, but have only ever offered it one-on-one with people. And so these organizers of a really cool founder group called the Zebras, look it up. They're great. They said, well, why don't you give a webinar on the art of, on pitching? So we said, let's do that. And then that's turned into offering our first ever mastermind group, a small group training where we currently are working with 4 founders from all over America and kind of taking them through our process of the pitch. And so we had our first kickoff. I think it's going well. It's a new experiment of the one to many. But so the gates, and I would say that I can give my contact information at the end. And if anybody wants to email, I can send a link to the webinar that we did, because I go into detail on what I'm going to talk about, which is what we call, certainly in the context of a pitch, the gates of awareness that you need to. It's that whole you might think that you can just step out there. Hey, investor. Here's who I am. I'm pretty cool. I got a great idea. You want to give me some money? But really, that's not what's going to, you need to meet an audience where they are. And understand what they need to understand first before they can understand and move on to the next thing. So back to your question, Tom, about what happens after you kind of hook them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the hooking them is what I call the gate one, which is the landscape and the context for change. Mm-hmm. And during that, you talk about how is the world changing? What's different now that wasn't true maybe 5 years ago? Why mm-hmm. now? Why is now more important than ever mm-hmm. for my idea? You touch on problems and potential. So what's the pain? Who's hurting here? Mm-hmm. You know, what are the gaps between what is and what can be? Mm-hmm. And what are the opportunities? And that might be, there's a really huge marketplace that nobody is tapping into yet, and nobody sees it exactly the way that I do.
Right.
So, you know, that kind of, and that's an emotional arc of the first arc of sales is inspiration.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit, something needs to be done about this. What if something could be done?
Ah.
And you get them to what if something could be done, then you say, actually, then you bring in your founder story. You know, I, a molecular biologist, have been following this problem in my industry for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I realized something needed to be done. So I created a company to do it. And that's really the founder story. It's like the novelist writing the book she wanted to read. Mm-hmm. So then it's really the hook is introducing company X. You know, we're the first ever to blah, 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 blah. And that's where you make your bold claim as a company.
Yeah. Perfect.
And then gate two is, here's how we do it. You know, here's the underlying magic under the hood. Here's our unique IP. Here's a product demo. So then it's like, we actually have something to show. Mm-hmm. And then the gate three in a pitch format would be, here's the path forward. Actually, we have a way to do this. Here's our timeline. Here's our go to market. Here's, you know, and then finally, here's the staff. That's where you do the staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And basically at the end of it, everybody goes, where do I sign?
Ideally. I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing also with pitches. And I think that's the kind of tough shell that you need to have, I think, in any public role. Certainly as a pitcher is that, you know, the whole thing, you might get 100 no's before you get that yes. Mm-hmm. And what you want is your right people.
Yeah. So you want to be attracting the right audience.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I work on with people where they look at who they are and positioning and brand is they need to know who their market is. And something you said to me is very powerful for me is you work with people who make your heart sing.
Yeah.
All right. So that's your market.
Yeah.
Those are the people who to attract. And for anybody who's interested in zebras, the movement's called Zebras Unite. And one of the founders I heard speak a couple of years ago, she flew across to England to the Meaning Conference and has decided you might think that unicorns are great. They make $1 billion and they're all about profit, right? And you can't do that without damaging the planet. But they wrote an article from which the whole movement spun out about three or four years ago. And it says zebra companies are both black and white. But really, zebra companies are both black and white. They are profitable and improve society. They will not sacrifice one for the other. So, and I just read I glanced at the article while you were talking through the last piece, and I went, ooh, they kind of could use Allison to clarify that key message.
Right. Oh, God. I mean, that whole thought, though, is so powerful, and that's what attracted me to the zebras. And, you know, and that also taps into this yearning, I think, that we have. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's a visceral sense, I think, for most people that the current predatory capitalism and profit at all costs is not working.
Yeah.
You know, it's extractive and exploitative on all levels.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, my position on the model of that, which is put purpose, people, and planet first. And make a profit, right? Mm-hmm. So, because I'm not a big fan of people who run one person organizations for 20 years.
Yeah, there's a great story.
Guy, a big difference.
I forget his name. It's Dan somebody I follow on Twitter, but he, you know, he's one of those CEOs where he decided to take a massive pay cut,
maybe
$1 million pay cut as a CEO, and raise the minimum wage of everyone in his company to $70,000. And it was like, oh, you might think that people, you know, he did stats, you know, like this many percentage of people, they built savings, they bought houses, they had babies, you know, and actually the profit went up.
And he's paid $70,000 too.
I think so. Yeah. Do you know him?
I can't remember his surname. His name is Dan. He's, if you look up Dan $70,000, you'll find it. And he's quite prominent on Twitter. And it is the you might think, but, and I'm talking to a government right now and I'm saying, what about making this radical change to make your society more equal? And really fundamentally what I'm saying is you might think that you have to keep the status quo the way it's always been because of these fears. But really, if you do this, so maybe I need to get my message.
Yeah. And then the final is like, if you jest, then you will. And Dan showed that because you might think, but really there's some phrase I think it's attributed to like, it's a Chinese Confucius saying, but I don't really know who it is, but it's that, you know, those who say it can't be done should not interrupt the ones doing it.
Yeah.
And he did. And he's like, I'm going to show you. And then he's come back to tell.
Yeah. Yes. And that's also powerful because you simplify it and you go, you might think, but really, if you just, then.
Yeah. Then you will. And then you will is the promise. Then you will is the call. Then you will is the invitation as Obi-Wan to your Luke Skywalkers. If you just, then you will. Now you go off and make that true for yourself.
And as your sometime coach, I will say, yes, you will, won't you, Alison? and you have the best dirty laugh on the planet. The only people who just
thought anything about
in the end. after a few margaritas in Baja, I certainly remember that.
That's another math that is, if he hears my laugh factor talking on the phone to someone, then they're a good person for us.
There you go. That's wonderful. So I'm conscious of everybody's time, yourself and those who listen now and after the event. So I'll leave you the final word. And do put yourself out there and propagate this podcast. So to your
yes, tribe. And people can go to people can go to our site and contact me and get on our list and learn about these trainings. And
as it'll be one of the last things they hear, they'll remember it. What's your site called?
The site is it's a city name. Ali Matt Inc. I'm Allison. My partner is Matt. ALIM-AT-INC.com.
AliMatt-Inc.com. There you go. And there you can find the midwife to genius and her amazing partner. Last words to you, Allison.
I'm grateful to be here and grateful to be connected to you across the pond and to everyone who's listening now and in the future. And come join our network.
Wonderful. Thank you.